Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus.
Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Lord, thank you so much for enabling us to do this. And thank you, Lord, that you will bring to our remembrance all the things you've said to us to defend us in the days of evil to come. Thank you, Lord, you will give us an understanding and a balance about suffering, Lord. Because it's so important that we know this. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints. I'm going to talk about losing our life with the devil's helpers. They give us plenty of help, you know. Jesus didn't make this an option. He told us we have to lose our life to gain our life. And I know that there's many real simple methods out there that people have to put people in the kingdom, shaking a preacher's hand or anything like that. But Jesus said we must lose our life to gain our life. In Mark 8 and 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and it's no different with us. We have to take up our cross and follow him. We are commanded to, or we can't be his disciples. We must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Yes, and we will be rejected by religion. If you hold fast to the word and you speak only the word, you will be rejected. It must be. And this is actually part of our crucifixion. Rejected by them and be killed. And of course, we are here to die. We're here just like our Lord, to lose our life. Talking about our carnal life, our selfish life. And after 3 days, rise again. Of course, death, burial, and resurrection. We're here to die. We're here to lose our life. And he spake the saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. You know, many times it's that way. People think that we don't have to do this. We don't have to go to this extent. We don't have to put our trust in God alone. There's much easier ways that save your flesh, right? But no. God said we must lose our life. And but he, turning about, and seeing his disciples, rebuked Peter and saith, Get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he wasn't saying Peter was Satan, but he was saying he was speaking from Satan. Satan in people, even God's people, try to talk us out of the crucified life. For thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of man. Well, that's normal. That's natural. It's not supernatural. It's not the gift that we receive from heaven. But it's normal. It's not the normal Christian life, Christian meaning Christ-like, not the traditional Christian life. And he called unto him the multitude and his disciples, and he said unto them, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Self is very simple in the Bible. It's your selfish ways. That which seems to edify the old man, self. Save the old man's life, which we don't want to do. That's not the crucified life. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. And of course he's talking about your carnal life, your self life. And whosoever shall lose his life, that is his carnal life, his self life, for my sake and the gospel shall save it. Yes, you want your eternal life to be saved, right? If a person walks after the flesh, their eternal life will be lost. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. He spoke that to Christians. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, which is the self-life, you shall live, right? It's in the Bible. For what doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? And there are many people out there that are just like that. They're gaining in the world. They have an appetite for the world, the love of the world. Of course, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. It doesn't matter if you're a famous preacher. It doesn't. The prosperity lion doctrine is causing a lot of people to seek after the things that distract them from the real life and the commands of the Great Commission. The hatred of the wicked in this process is necessary. It is to crucify our life. It is why God left Satan this ability on the earth in the first place. You know, somebody had to put Jesus on the cross, right? Somebody had to put him there. And constantly they were doing that, not necessarily physically, but constantly they were doing that. And they'll do it to us. We must first realize that this is a part of God's work. And all you have to do is read the scriptures to find this out. Some people don't want to read the scriptures because they don't want to find this out. They like their life in this world, but that's what the love of the world is. If you love the world, you want to keep your old life, you can. But you'll lose your heavenly life. Jesus gave a condition. It's not unconditional. Jesus gave a condition. You have to lose your life to gain your life. Matthew 10:16, and I'll read through 25. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, that doesn't sound pleasant, but wolves devour the flesh of sheep, right? So that's part of God's plan. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Yes, we must be humble, seeking the life of the person that we're faced with, and seeking the life of the person that hates us, even though we must separate them from the righteous, as the word says in 1 Corinthians 5. It must be done. But at the same time, we pray for them, we believe for them, we trust God for them, and hopefully if they are of the elect, they will come into the kingdom, right? But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. He's talking about religious men. These are the people that crucified all of the great men in the Bible. Religious men. And they will deliver you up to councils and in their synagogues. So you can see it was religious men. They will scourge you. Yes, and they'll do it with their tongue more often than they do it any other way. But it's the same thing. Yea, and before governors and kings shall you be brought for my sake. For my sake. We suffer for the Lord's sake and for his people's sake and for the sake of the spiritual man inside of us. We suffer this indignity for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Yes, they must hear the truth. There's no way that they can come into the kingdom without hearing the truth. They have to be, you must be a testimony of the crucified Christ before them. But when they deliver you up, be not anxious or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that hour that ye shall speak. For it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you. In other words, when you're suffering at the hands of the wicked, trust God to say the things he wants to say through you. This is a time when you can be a witness, or you can do just like the rest of the world and retaliate and so on and so forth, get angry and so on and so forth. And brother shall deliver up brother to death. Yes, There's a contrary spirit in a born-again person. They're contrary to their whole family. Jesus didn't come to bring peace between these two kinds of people. He came to bring a sword. He said so. Brother shall deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children shall rise up against parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Well, I was one day ministering to a man in a Muslim land, and he had a religion that believed in killing people that didn't agree with him. And no, it wasn't Islam either. It was a false Christian religion. And he ended up, because his brother got converted to Christianity, he ended up killing his brother. Yeah, this is murderous spirit knows no ends. Because his brother didn't agree with him, and because his brother wouldn't humbly submit and come back under his authority, and et cetera, et cetera. So you see, it happens, and it happens very common in lands where murder is a part of the religion. And I'm not saying just the Muslim religion either. There's many so-called false Christian religions that they will kill you too if you don't submit to them. And, of course, the Jews' religion did it with Jesus, did it with his disciples, so on and so forth. And spiritually so, in a land where there's relative peace, like America, they do it, they still do it. They still crucify the saints. There's no man of God in the Bible who wasn't persecuted and hated by these people. They are sons of their father, right? And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But for my name's sake, his nature, his name is his nature, onoma, right? Name is nature, character, and authority. That's what it means. So for the nature, character, and authority of the Lord to be manifested in us, we're going to be hated of men. We shouldn't get indignant about it. It's God's plan. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, of course, enduring in the faith is how you come to the end of this and how you get saved and how you get the crucified life, which is the eternal life, right? We have an eternal life as the new man conquers the old man, right? But when they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. Notice he didn't say you can fight with them. No, you can flee to the next. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. Yes, the Lord is coming for the precious fruit. He's not coming for the plant, as I've said so often. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's the fruit. It's the spiritual man, right, that he's after. So when you get through going through all of this, the Son will come for you one way or the other, right? A disciple is not above his teacher. Well, we see what happened to our teacher. If we want to be like him, what other response would you get from the world than the one he got, right? A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his Lord. It's enough for the disciple that he be as his teacher. All right, so the Lord has ordained for us to be like him. We have to follow in his steps, to look on him as a teacher, and to look on him as a disciple would look on somebody that they respected. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, our teacher said. And the servant as his Lord. So we can become as our Lord. That's what the Bible calls perfection, maturity, etc. Hundredfold, he promised. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which they did, how much more them of his household? Oh, yes, always look through the Bible. They demonized every man of God that followed God, heard his word, and spoke his word. They demonized them. And it's part of this process. You can't get offended because they're just dumb animals, honestly. John 15 and 18. If the world hateth you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. Yeah, so it's not really a question. That they will hate you. It is very clear that they will hate you. They hated Jesus, and the closer you get to Jesus, the more they're going to hate you. If you were of the world would love its own. See, this is why the worldly people, even the worldly Christians, hate you, because the world loves its own. The people who have spirits of rejection, of course, they are motivated by pleasing people around them. They want to be like the world. They want to be accepted by the world. They want to be seen as something admirable by the world. They want authority in the world. And so this is a dangerous trap, because that's not why they came here. They came here to represent Jesus. But because you are not of the world, and you can tell a person who is not of the world, they're not interested in pleasing anybody but the Lord. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. So you can tell the people who are come-outers, right? They're coming out of the world. They don't want to be pleased by the world, and they don't want to please the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. A servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you have him as Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If Jesus is your Lord, and you're following him, and you're walking in his steps, they will hate you, they will persecute you. This is part of it. Notice, Jesus is saying this will happen. He's not saying, I'll save you from this. He's saying this will happen. So you should expect it. If you don't expect it, you will probably react wrongly, because you don't realize that you're supposed to cooperate with your own death to self, that is. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Well, notice that. You know, when the Lord sends somebody who speaks for him and speaks the word itself, the people who are also not of the world will listen and they will obey. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Yes, so that his name might be manifested, first of all, in the person. Because if Jesus' name is not manifested in you, what can you pass on to others? If you aren't crucified to self, what can you do for others? They're going to emulate you. They're going to try to come into your image. You're the one among them who is the teacher. No teacher is sent that is not in the crucified life. Period. Because they know not him that sent me. It's true. If we don't know that we're come here to die just like our Lord, that we're to take up our cross and follow it to our Golgotha, well, if they don't know that, they don't know him. They haven't read his word. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. See, you're responsible when you get the word. There's no other way to bear fruit than the word, though. The word sown in your heart is what brings forth the fruit, as in the parable of the sower. So if you're only sowing a part of that word, you're only going to bear a part of that fruit. And it's very simple. So he makes you responsible. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Christians don't have any excuse for their sin. He's come and spoken to us. He's given us these words. If we call ourselves disciples of Christ, why would we not study the Bible diligently to find out what it is to walk in his steps? He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And by the way, he that hateth you hateth your Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which none other did, notice, works make you responsible too. Works of God, power of God, miracles of God. He confirms his word with signs and wonders. They had not had sin. So these works that a person does, if they believe in Jesus, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. If we really believe on the real Jesus, we're going to have his works. And I'm talking about the supernatural works and the holy works, right? They had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Yes, if you walk in the steps of Jesus and they hate you, guess who they really hate? Jesus in you, the Father in you. And the Father said, if you obey Jesus, he will come and make his abode with you too. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Well, they had jealousy, selfish ambition, hatred, legalism, faction, witchcraft. They had all these things, yet they thought they were holy, and they dressed like they were holy, and they went to church like they were holy. And churches are full of that kind. In fact, the majority. So, John 17 and 14 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if we're not of this world, if we're born from above, and Jesus said to the religious folks, leaders even, supposed to be the most holy, supposed to be an example, you are from beneath. You're of your father the devil, he said to them. Oh my, you couldn't have told them that. They were raised up in that religion. They were taught to respect their leadership. And along comes Jesus and said, oh no, this is a backslidden bunch. And they're headed to hell where they came from. You're either born from below or you're born from above. If you're born from above, guess what you look like? Jesus. He's the sower. He sowed the seed. What can the seed of Jesus, by the way, in that text, in places, the word seed is sperma. What can the sperma of Jesus bring forth but himself? 30, 60, and 100-fold. So you can be as your master, not by your power, by his power. Amen. Luke 6 and 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. Blessed. Do you think that way? Or do you just get mad? Yeah, blessed are ye when men shall hate you. You've been blessed to be hated, because your Father is God if you're hated. Your Lord is Jesus if you're hated. You are blessed to be hated. And when they shall separate you from their company. Oh, they do it all the time. That's what faction does in people. Religious faction, denominationalism, all these forms of faction and witchcraft. They separate you from their company and reproach you. Yeah. If you hold fast to the word. Now, the people that do this don't hold fast to the word. They don't have a conscience of the word. That's because they're not born from above. And reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. So, wow. What should we do? He goes on to tell you, rejoice in that day. Because you're one of the chosen ones. If you're hated, if you're maligned, if you're slandered, if you're separated from them, rejoice in that day. Leap for joy, he says. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Woo-hoo! Hey, suffer just a little while on this earth. And serve the Lord with all of your heart. Don't worry about pleasing men. And your reward will be great in heaven. Wow, that's an eternity. You're giving up something you can't keep to get something you can't lose. And it's forever. And this is for a moment. It's a breath. Suffer. Suffer the crucifixion of self. Suffer it. Because your reward will be great in heaven. For in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Yep, history just keeps on repeating, just repeats in larger and larger ways with larger groups of people. But we still got the Pharisees and Sadducees with us today that want to crucify Jesus and all of his disciples. They're still with us today. You can tell them by their hatred. You can tell them by their slander. You can tell them by their faction. You can tell them. We're looking at the text here. Jesus is telling us this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to be any other way. If you choose to please the world, you can have a moment of peace with the wicked, but you're going to go to the same place they are. Luke 6 and 27 says, and I'm going to read down through about 36, "But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies." Yes, they only get one shot, and they're going to miss it. The rest of their time will be suffering. So pity them. Love them. Do what you can to make them saved. Don't let their loss be your fault. Right? "But I say unto you that hear." Some people just won't hear. You might as well not waste your time constantly with them when you realize that they're just not going to hear. "But love your enemies." Now, love, the agape love, is a love of action. You always act. You don't have to like them to have agape love. Agape love is an action love. You do right towards them. You do kindly towards them. "Do good to them that hate you." Yes, I can think of people that have come out of the faction three times and gone in a fourth time. And we give them the opportunity to repent. We preach repentance, but they don't want it. Well, all they're going to do is more destruction. So bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. I know the wicked don't think that we pray for them, but they would be wrong because we do. We obey what our Lord said. We pray for them. And yes, they do curse us. But that's okay because they've got a job to do. Their job is the persecutor. Their job is the Judas. Their job is to crucify us. God left them here for that purpose. He could have wiped them all out, but he didn't. 29. "To him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other." Hey, if you realize that this is a place to rejoice and give thanks, your suffering is not in vain. All of the suffering that you receive here is going to be repaid in heaven. And I'm talking about the blessing side, right? "To him," and it's forever. "To him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other also. For from him that taketh away thy cloak, withhold not thy coat also. Give to everyone that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." Yes, the wicked will take away your goods. They will plunder you. Again, this is the test. We got to be tested. You have to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land, right? Jesus went through the wilderness before he was counted worthy, or was worthy, to begin to preach and to teach. If you don't live the crucified life, you're just not qualified. And he went and was tested of the devil. He was led of the Spirit to be tested of the devil. We have to be tested. Everything that you get from the word is going to be tested to see if you're going to obey it, right? And if you love the Lord, it will be shown because you'll obey it to please him even when you can't see him. The wicked, the only people they want to please is the ones they can see, and they don't care about God who sees them. "And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." Give them a chance. Give them a chance. Preach the gospel to them. Preach the good news to them. Exhort them with the word of God. Let them know they're going in the wrong direction. Love them enough to tell them the truth. "And if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For even sinners love those that love them." Yes, religious people, they love people that agree with them. It's the people they don't agree with that incur their wrath. And so, you know, we have to love people that don't agree with us. In fact, you can't really teach anybody that's already in agreement with you. What do you have to share with them? Right? You are able to share with people because they don't agree with you. They have a lack somewhere. Then you're able to teach them truth, and truth sets free. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? God's not going to thank you for doing that. For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive, what thank have you? In other words, I'll lend to this person because they can pay me back. I'm not going to lend it to that person. It's a total loss. They may spend it out there in the world, you know. Well, remember the father who sent his son out with his inheritance and he blew it. He had a chance to make the right decision. He made the wrong decision. But the father sent him out with a provision. Even sinners lend to sinners to receive again as much. But love your enemies and do them good and lend, never despairing. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High. For he is kind towards the unthankful and the evil. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Yes, I've given to a lot of people that turned and spiritually slapped me in the face. And I rarely ever even lend. A lot of times I just give, but I get slapped anyway. Person that returns evil for good, the Bible says, evil will not depart from them. So, I mean, that's the curse that they brought upon themselves, and it won't depart from them. John 7:7 says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that its works are evil. Okay, here's how you can get hated. If you need this hate, and we all do, tell them the truth. You know, tell them, hey, what you're doing there is going to lead you to destruction. There's a curse on that. If it's the faction and they've been overtaken by those demons, they're not going to listen. But you're still responsible to tell them, you know, even if they hate you and retaliate against you because you disagree with them or you caught them in a sin. And they're not going to admit it. They're going to blame you. We see it in politics now very, very plainly. You know, blame the person that tells you what's wrong. Blame the person who is responsible to enforce the law, right? Well, we don't want to forget this now. There's always testings. We go through times of testings, especially with wicked people. But the Lord has provided for us to be saved from hateful enemies. I'm going to start in Luke 1:67 and go through 75. It says, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So it's the Holy Spirit speaking this, saying, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. For he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people. Notice, it's already a past tense thing. It's there for you. You can take it or you can leave it. In the midst of the trial, if you take that salvation that the Lord has given you, you will obey God. You will walk in his steps. Some people don't understand that salvation is coming into Jesus. It is walking after Jesus. You want to see salvation? Look at Jesus. If you look like that, that means you're manifesting that salvation, right? And hath raised up a horn of salvation. Horn represents power, right? He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now that's very prophetic. That was very prophetic of Jesus, who came to bring that salvation. He sat upon the throne of David. It's very prophetic of the man-child in our day, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. So these people also He said of David that he would always have a son to sit upon his throne. So there are Davids in our day coming. They're about to be manifested with the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work. It's the same as Jesus' work, because there's a much bigger multitude to be served now. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old, salvation from our enemies. Oh, praise be to God. God saved us from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. The enemies who hate us have a crucifying work to do. Thankfully, we don't always have to go to a physical cross. Our cross is spiritual. It's for self to die on. This is our great opportunity, because when self dies, there is no curse on that person. The curse is against self. It's the enemy of God, called the flesh in the Bible, enemy of God. And it has to die. It can't be regenerated. It has to die. It's the spiritual man who is the regenerate man. To show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear. Serve him without fear. So it's our right to be delivered out of the hand of our enemies. Joseph was delivered out of the hand of his enemies. He went through a crucifixion. When he came out, he was a ruler. And so it is with everybody else. You know, he that overcometh, to him will I give authority. And to him that overcometh, I will give to sit down with me in my throne as I sat down with my father in his throne. That's authority. To grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Look, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. This is a person who has walked the crucified life. That's why they're delivered out of the hands of their enemies. Yes, they're persecuted, but their enemies aren't able to take them down. They try very hard. They can't do it. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from... We're still talking, by the way, about save from our hateful enemies, right? The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, he'll deliver us from every evil work. If we're serving him, if we're walking in the kingdom, if we're walking on the highway of holiness towards Zion, the bride, no beast can come up there on, right? Oh, they can persecute you, they can slander you, they can whatever, you know, but they can't take you down. They can only take you up. okay, 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11 says, but thou didst follow my teaching. Well, this is interesting. These are followers, so they must be disciples, right? But thou didst follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, persecutions, sufferings. Oh, we have to follow in that too? Yes, we do. Persecutions, sufferings. What things befell me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra? What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Another one about saved from our hateful enemies. Psalm 34, 17 through 19. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard, and delivered them out of all their troubles. out of all their troubles? Yeah. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. Well, now, let's see. Going through these things can break your heart, right? Yeah. And saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Yeah, the humble-spirited person is not under the curse, right? He gives grace to the humble, but the proud he resists, right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, not in the prosperity gospel. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen, we are called to suffer for Jesus and for his people and for his life to be in us. We're called through suffering. Suffering crucifies the old man. Suffering is the product of the crucifixion of the old man. It makes humble people. Matthew 17, 12 and 13. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but did unto him whatsoever they would. Well, you know, Elijah came, he spoke the word of the Lord, he was faithful to do it, and he suffered at the hands of the wicked. So did every other man of God that was created in the image of Jesus. They suffered by the hands of these people. Even so shall the Son of Man also suffer of them. Just like Elijah, who goes on to say, was in spirit John the Baptist, then understood the disciples that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So just like John the Baptist came and suffered at the hands of the wicked, so the Son of Man will suffer also. Okay. We are blessed by the ministry of the John the Baptist types who preach repentance. But we don't stay all the time in the area of repentance. Once a person's repented, they shouldn't really go back to their old ways. It shouldn't be really a big problem. We can go on then to grow in the knowledge of God and be useful in the kingdom, right? Acts 5 and 34. But there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in honor of all the people, and commanded to put the men forth a little while. Well, they had them on the carpet there, and they were persecuting them and abusing them, and he wanted to talk to them without these people in the room. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves as touching these men, what you are about to do. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, giving himself out to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were dispersed and came to naught." So he's saying, you really don't have to worry about this. Leave it up to God. Be careful what you do. Leave it up to God. But they don't do this. The people who are self-willed, angry, ambitious, wanting, you know, jealous of your ministry, wanting to take it for themselves or whatever, you know, they don't leave anything up to God. They got no faith. They don't belong in the ministry in the first place. They're not qualified. So after this man rose up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of the enrollment, and drew away some of the people after him. See, this is the ambition of the wicked. They want to draw away people after them. They want to climb the corporate ladder. They want to be the head of somebody. Okay. He also perished, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered abroad. So they come to naught. All of them come to naught. The people who are ambitious are not qualified to be ministers of the Lord. We don't have but one ambition. It's the Lord's ambition, an ambition to save and to deliver and to heal and whatever. That's the only ambition you can have. But to be ambitious to be over people, these are dangerous people. Yeah, they're dangerous. They're going to hurt people. 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men. In other words, leave it up to God, you Pharisees, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will be overthrown. A wise man. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Aha. Uh-huh. I heard a factious guy say that. If it would have been of God, we could have we would have won, or we would have cast it down. But it wasn't, so we failed. This was a guy coming out of faction. Guess what? He went right back in it. Lest happily you be found even to be fighting against God. Yeah. But they don't know it. You see, because those demons on them, those selfish ambition, anger, you know, crucifying demons are on them, and they don't know it. All they can see is what their lusts desire. And to him they agreed. Ah, so he was really, really kind of embarrassing them. You know, you don't have any trust in God. You're taking care of this yourself, you know. And when they had called the apostles unto them, they beat them. They wasn't going to let them go without something. They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I don't know where they thought they'd go with that. Who's not going to speak in the name of Jesus? Who belongs to him? Because they understood suffering. They understood it was part of what they had to go through for the kingdom of God and for the great reward that God promised. And he goes on to say, 41, they therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Rejoicing, praise God, rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer. That doesn't sound like suffering is a bad thing, does it? They were counted worthy to suffer dishonor. For the name. Who cares about dishonor in the world? They honor the wicked. Okay? To honor a person who serves the Lord is to honor a humble person. Right? And every day in the temple, at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Acts 9 and 13. And I think I'll read through about 18 or so. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many of this man, how much evil he did to thy saints at Jerusalem. Oh, boy, we need some Pauls, don't we? The Lord said he's sending them. He's sending some Pauls. They have persecuted the saints just like Paul did. They've hated the saints just like Paul did. But the Lord flipped a switch one day, and Paul came to his senses. And I can tell you, the Lord's going to do it again for some, a minority, I agree. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Well, he knew his history, didn't he? He knew he was a wicked man, and his history was murderous. He knew that, but he didn't know what God had planned. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Nobody can know righteousness who hasn't known wickedness. I'm talking about known it and understood what it is and what's wrong with it, you know. And that was Paul. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. And children of Israel. Well, he was perfect. He was a Pharisee. He was the recognized group, you know, of diligent people, supposedly believing all of the word. They all think that. But he considered all that dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. This is the Lord saying this. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, if you expect suffering, you know it's a good thing, you know it'll bring you rewards in the kingdom, etc., etc., you can handle this. But if you think suffering is being out of the will of God, which many do, especially the prosperity people, you know, suffering is out of the will of God. You missed God. And then when it comes, you're angry because you see the enemy there that's unrighteous and bringing this suffering to you. You don't understand that God is using them as a vessel of dishonor to bring you to your cross. You don't understand they're there to help you. And Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto thee in the way which thou camest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was just wondering, what in the world has happened to me? What is going on here? I mean, you know, he had a lot of pride in who he was in the religion, you know. And he was shedding that. He was being humbled. He was being shown he was wrong. He was going to admit he was wrong. When you find people that won't admit they're wrong and they won't admit their sin, they can't have anything from God. They're not going to have anything from God. Don't waste your time. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if they don't do that, you're wasting your time. If they're too proud to humble themselves and admit their evil, you're wasting your time. He that's of God hears the words of God. That's what Jesus said. If you don't hear the words of God, you are not of God. You might be very religious, and you might consider yourself a Christian, but you're not of God, according to Jesus. And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized. Oh, and he became a great warrior, right, for the kingdom. Wow. Awesome. Because he was seen as one of the persecutors and very diligent in his religion, but realized that he was wrong. Okay, Romans 8 and 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, if we are children of God, if we are being born from above, because it's not a suddenly snap your fingers type thing, being born from above is the Word entering into your heart to give you the renewed mind to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. So these people are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Why do some people not receive what they want from God or what they need from God? They're not an heir. We're justified by our faith. And because we have faith, we have a right to the benefits of the kingdom because we're accounted righteous by our faith. So when we walk by faith in God, we become heirs of the kingdom, blessings, benefits, etc. Okay, a person who doesn't have faith, they're not really entering into all this, you see. If so be that we suffer with him, look at the condition there. There's one of them conditions that they said doesn't belong in the Bible. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Now to them, they believe that that means going to heaven. No, it doesn't. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. We're coming into the glory of God as we suffer the death of self. on the earth. This is where we enter the kingdom. Oh, yes, the kingdom is there too. But the work is being done on us here. It's, everybody's saying it's going to happen there. I can live a filthy life. God's going to fix me when I go to heaven. No, you can't go to heaven that way. It's here that you're glorified. It's here that you're crucified and glorified. It's here. And they've been deceived. They're not doing the work. They're wasting time, and they're running out of time, and they've been deceived. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and I'm going to read through verse 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Yes, he's our comforter and he has mercy. Cry out for God's mercy, right? He hears that prayer more than anything. When you know it's mercy, it's undeserved mercy, you cry out to him, right? Who comforteth us in all our affliction. He comforts you in affliction. Didn't say he took you out of it, but he will take you out of it if you learn your lesson in it, right? In all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction. If you haven't been through it, you can't give it away. If you don't have it, you can't give it away. If you've been comforted, you understand. You understand where you came from. You understand who got you there. You're able to help others along the way. And that you may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, even so our comfort also aboundeth through Christ. So you are suffering affliction and you're comforted through Christ. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which worketh in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So we get comfort after our affliction, after our, in other words, God permits a crucifixion of the old man. He also brings the comfort afterward. He wants you to know that through death there is resurrection life, which is a great comfort. And you can look back and see the fruit, you know, of leading a life, of trusting in the Lord to work in us, to will and to do of his good pleasure. And verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, so also are ye of the comfort. Amen. For we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning our affliction, which befell us in Asia, that we were weighed down exceedingly. You ever been there? Sure, I have too. Weighed down exceedingly, beyond our power. In other words, we needed help, comfort. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. Yep, been there myself. Yea, we ourselves have had the sentence of death within ourselves. We have this sentence of death. We must fulfill our baptism of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to come into his image. Right? A baptism is our faith that we received this when we got baptized, the death, the burial, the resurrection, right? And we claim it as ours, right? It's no more I that live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We reckon the old man to be dead unto sin, but that we are now alive unto God, right? that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. We're trusting the Lord to bring us through the death, burial, and resurrection, who delivered us out of so great a death and will deliver. You see, you may be going through a death to your own ability to save yourself, provide for yourself, on and on and on. You know, none of this can enter the kingdom of heaven. We must enter into the rest to see God's works done through us, right? So he delivers us out of so great a death and will deliver, on whom we have set our hope that he will also still deliver us. Do you still have hope that the Lord will deliver you? Amen. Ye also helping together on our behalf by your supplication. So pray, pray, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of the many, thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. Yes, your righteous life before the Lord, your sacrificial life to meet the needs of the people around you, to live the crucified life, will be rewarded. Philippians 1:27 through 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. Yes, when people are ministered to by elders, by faithful fathers in the gospel, they want to see fruit. They want to see that person continue on. They want to see that person walk in the faith of the gospel. And that's the victory that overcomes the world. They want to see that. They hate to see people fall away, even though Jesus sowed the seed in the parable of the sower, and one out of four went on and manifested the fruit. And the rest fell away. Sad to say, that's the way it is. Even those that Jesus ministered to. He said, what will I liken this generation? Well, it's like a demon cast out of a guy that goes out through waterless places, and he comes back and he finds his house swept and garnished, and he brings seven more worse than himself in, and they enter in. He said, that's the way this generation is. They were ministered to by Jesus and fell away. Does it happen today? Exactly the same. Because Jesus is the only one who through us can minister to others. And if we don't live the crucified life, he is not permitted to do that. You smell the flowers most when they're crushed. Have you noticed? And in nothing affrighted by the adversaries. Yep, don't be afraid of them. Fear God. Fear God. Don't be afraid of them. They're wicked. They're going to receive. When they're through crucifying you, they're going to get what they so richly deserve, which is for them an evident token of perdition. It's just a token of destruction. Their crucifixion of you, their hatred of you, their slander of you, it's a token of their destruction. You're looking at part of their destruction there. They're being destroyed. But of your salvation, you see, when they're doing this to you, what you can see in you is salvation. What you can see in them is destruction. And that from God. Because to you it hath been granted like a gift. It has been granted in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf. We suffer to serve Christ. The wicked come against us, steal, slander, all and on and on. We suffer to serve Christ. They don't have any faith. They don't see any signs and wonders. It's their ministry to crucify you. It's their ministry to destroy you. They know it. They're very self-righteous about it. They know that that's their ministry. But we've been granted this gift in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. And that conflict is suffering when you do right. It seems unrighteous. It seems, that you shouldn't have to go through this. It's a conflict, you know. And it was in Paul. It was in everybody else. But we have to learn that we've been granted this gift of suffering the death of self from God himself. The end product is coming. Have faith. Believe for it, right? And that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't that cool? Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. And I'm going to read through 12. We're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, even as it is meet, for that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the love of each one of you all towards one another aboundeth. Well, the love abounds in a people who have suffered the death of self. Self is greedy. Self is lustful. Self is doesn't care about anybody but self. You know, the love comes from the crucified life. The love for one another. I see a people around me that have gone through suffering at the hands of the wicked, and they've got more love. Everybody that comes here sees the love that the people have for one another and for them. They see that. They mention that. They've never seen anything like this. That's because we have been crucified a lot by the wicked. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions, there it is, and in the afflictions which you endure. Patience and faith in persecutions and afflictions that we endure. That's what we need. A person that is patient in his faith will lack nothing. which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. So notice, he's saying your persecutions, you saints, you people who are going through this, in all your persecutions and afflictions, it is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God against what? Your flesh. God loves the spiritual man. The carnal man, the fleshly man, is his enemy, the Bible says. He's at enmity with God, right? So God makes war. As long as the old man lives, he makes war to bring him to his death. But you have to make the decisions that you really want this. This is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. To the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. It's a token that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also you suffer. Why are you suffering? For the kingdom of God. For God himself. For Jesus Christ. For the people of the kingdom. This is why you suffer. And it is a judgment of God against your old flesh. He wants you to have the crucified life. This is the gift that leads to resurrection life, which is the life of Jesus. This gift of suffering the death of self. But you got to cooperate with God. You got to see what we're seeing here is that this is a gift from God. You will have eternal life with Jesus Christ. You have lost your life, and therefore you are entitled to your heavenly life. If so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you. Well, it always is. He uses them on you, and then he uses an even bigger beast on them. That's God's M.O. Isaiah chapter 10 is very plain about that. When I get through with you, I will take them down. Yeah. That's what they are, the vessels of dishonor that put us on the cross, right? We need their help. And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God. So if you're afflicted, rest. God's coming for you. He's going to take care of them. And I got to tell you, we've received many signs of this coming. Jesus is coming now for the first fruits' sake. He's coming now because the people have gone through sufferings at the hands of the wicked, and he's going to take care of that situation now. Then the church is going, the woman, the church is going into tribulation to get the same treatment that the man child and the bride got. Then he will use the beast against them, and then he will destroy the beast. That's his M.O. He's coming, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment. What punishment will they suffer? Eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. You see why you need to sacrifice for these people and make sure it's not your fault that they're falling away. You must give them every opportunity to turn in the right direction and speak well to them and give them grace. And don't let them lie to you. Don't let them tell you they've repented when they cannot and will not confess their sins. Nope, this is just foolishness. And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. So when is this going to happen, this destruction? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Saints means sanctified one. Sanctified ones are separate. They are holy. Sanctified and holy come from the same word. When he shall come to be glorified. Now he's coming to judge the wicked, and it's because his saints are finished. Notice, when he shall be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony, meaning the testimony of the early apostles, right? Because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. So when we believe the testimony, the gospel, the good news, then the Lord is going to bring crucifixion and resurrection life to us. At the same time, he judges the wicked. To which end, we also pray always for you that our God may count you worthy of your calling. Calling means invitation. Kaleo, invitation. He wants us to be counted worthy of our calling. And how does he reward that? And fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith. Do you have a desire for goodness? Do you desire goodness more than you desire self to be rewarded or to continue, you know, and fulfill every desire of goodness. God will fulfill your desire for goodness. And every work of faith with power. Where does power come from? It comes from your faith. When you exercise your faith, power from God comes to you to be what you never could be otherwise. That's what people don't understand about faith. Faith isn't what you believe. and you're standing on the fact that you believe this or that about Jesus or whatever. No, it's your faith in those promises that God gave you that brings this power to be obedient. So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord will be glorified in the person that he gives every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by grace. There is no great men of God who didn't get there because of grace, the favor of God. That's how they got there. And if we believe, we too will arrive. 2 Timothy 2:2-5. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So, obviously, faithful men make disciples of Jesus Christ, not themselves. And they also send out faithful men to teach others and make disciples. A person has to be proven to be faithful, you see. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Suffer hardship. You know, some people think if there's suffering in it, we must have missed God. But no, he's saying this is part of it. Go ahead and do it. Obey the apostle. Suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Yes, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's suffering. Do you back away when you start suffering, or are you just coming against that old man? Yeah, you have to continue to come against the old man, right? Like Paul did. He buffeted his body and he brought it into submission so he wouldn't be rejected as somebody who loved their old life, right? No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. Yeah, some people just want to have pleasure. They want to have all the toys and all the pleasure. 17 airplanes, how about that? You know, they just want to please their flesh, even at the expense of the needs of the brethren around them. You know, they're not going to suffer for anybody. They're entangled in the affairs of the world. They're having an affair with the world that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. Soldiers suffer hardship. They put them through it so that they toughen up, you know. And if also a man contend in the games, he's not crowned, except he have contended lawfully. Well, we see the rules. The Lord's laid them down. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. If you don't contend lawfully, you're not going to have that crown. Some people say, oh, no, that was automatic when I shook a preacher's hand or when I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Oh, no, there's no such word in the Bible. Yeah, go back and look. You have to contend lawfully. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. If you don't, you cannot be my disciple. The people of the world called the early disciples Christians because they were Christ-like. That wasn't a term Jesus used. He called them disciples, which is a mathetes, a learner and a follower. See? We have to learn from the Master and follow in his steps. And this is contending lawfully. And 2 Timothy 2:9. Wherein I suffer hardship unto bonds as a malefactor. Suffer hardship. They made a criminal out of Paul. And yet he was the only one that wasn't. As a malefactor. They made him the criminal. But they were the criminals. He suffered hardship What did he just get through saying? Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I suffer hardship unto bonds as a malefactor, but the word of God is not bound. Now, even though he was physically in bondage, his word is still going forth. Yes. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. See, we have to go through suffering. We have to endure all things so that we can be what the elect need us to be. And that is Christ in you and him crucified. That's the only thing he wanted to hear about among them is Christ in them crucified, right? Amen. The elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So for the elect's sake, notice, that they also may obtain, they call the elect, yes, they're chosen from the foundation of the world. The word elect is electos, chosen, means chosen. They were chosen. That they also may obtain the salvation. You see, they had what the world calls, or the worldly church calls, salvation. But salvation has to be manifested. And when it's manifested, that means when it's not just in the kingdom as a benefit, but you have partaken of the benefit. It's living in you. And that is Christ in you. That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. If you abide in Christ Jesus, he has provided us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Abiding in Jesus is abiding in the Word of God. If they don't do that, they're not going to bear fruit. Don't waste any time. You have to know that you have to eat Jesus in order to become Jesus. If you don't eat my body, you have no life in you. And his body was the Word made flesh. You eat his body and you drink his blood, representative of the wine. You drink his blood. What was passed on to us is the blood of our parents. It had the Adamic nature in it. We have to have new inheritance from a new father. But it's in Christ Jesus. If you abide in him, you bear fruit of this, Jesus said. If you don't, they cast you out and you're thrown in the fire. Faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, notice, there's the condition again. If we, that is people who consider themselves Christians, right? If we died with him, we shall also live with him. That's a word of faith, right? If we endure, what? The crucifixion. You remember you're taking your cross to follow Jesus, right? To our cross, right? If we endure, we shall also reign with him. To him that overcometh will I give authority over the nations, right? Authority. If we endure this crucifixion, we shall also reign with him in resurrection life. If we shall deny him, he also will deny us. Okay. So, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Some people avoid persecution like the plague. We really don't like it. It's not nice. It doesn't feel good. But you remember the early disciples, how that they rejoiced to suffer for the name of Jesus and suffer for the kingdom of God. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you want to live godly? then you must suffer persecution. If you want Jesus to live in you, he will get the same treatment that he got when he walked in that first body. Persecution. If Jesus lives in you, expect persecution. It's part of it. Then you can rejoice, right? Amen. We must be persecuted. We must be crucified. The old man has to be put to death. We get more and more humble as we go, you know. And we overcome by degrees. You see, that can mean this. I overcome more this time than I did last time. I fail less this time than I did last time. You overcome by degrees. Don't get discouraged that you didn't get it perfect the first time. Just endure. Endure. You'll have to endure, by the way, the condemnation of the devil. He's trying to take away your faith. Right? If he can take away your faith, you don't have any power. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to bear any fruit. And he knows that. So he'll condemn you and condemn you and condemn you. Don't matter. You can't be good enough for the devil. You know, he does this. This is part of his warfare. Fear and condemnation, that's part of his warfare against you. You have to endure that, cast it down, believe in the promises, continue to believe in the promises, and endure in this way to the end to bear fruit. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. I think we'll go through verse 8. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Long-suffering, you have to suffer long with people who are just not there. But they've got to have something that will get them there. And that's preaching the word to them. No, don't let them make you feel guilty because you're speaking the word to them. It's for their salvation. Yes, they might get indignant and they might come against you. And while you're preaching the word, you do have to be weak to the weak so that you may gain them. You can't, you know, try to expect them to do more than what they are. They've got to receive the word. As they receive the word, they'll have more power and more faith as they receive the word. So even if you can only give them a little bit now and a little bit later, be urgent in season and out of season, even out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice, even the people that will not endure sound doctrine, they have to have this. This is the proof of who they are. When they're faced with the preaching of the word, if they're of God, they hear the words of God. If they're not of God, they will not hear, they will not listen. Yes, they might sit on a pew. Yes, they might come in. Remember, it was a 1 out of 4 in the parable of the sower. Yes, they all received or heard the word, you know, but only one of them gave root to the word and brought forth the fruit, right? Because the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. What is it? Teachers that let them have their lusts. In other words, you don't have to go this crucified life way. They're telling them it's okay. You're okay. Once saved, always saved, you know. God understands. No, he doesn't understand, and he doesn't have any love for the flesh, and he's there to crucify the flesh. It's the spiritual man that he loves, right? And if you give in to your lusts, you will lose out in the kingdom. And will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside into fables, just like the overwhelming majority of the church has done. Some of the meanest people in the world are believing that they're Christians. Turned aside into fables. I saw people, more than just a few, a lot of them, when they fell into faction, went back under legalism because they had to be justified somehow by doing this or by doing that. They couldn't be justified by faith. They didn't have any. So they fell back under the law. It's amazing. We've seen it. Some of them even became Mormons. Can you believe that? Oh, my gosh. Well, they turn aside into fables. But be thou sober in all things. Suffer hardship. There it is again. Wow. That's a big teaching for Paul, right? Suffer hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. So it can be hardship to do the work of an evangelist, to go and tell people about the Lord. Fulfill thy ministry. You know, he said do the work of an evangelist. He didn't necessarily say that he was. Actually, did you know Timothy was an apostle, and that can be proven. But apostles all did the work of an evangelist. You know, they always were building the kingdom, always. Fulfill thy ministry. For I am already being offered as a burnt sacrifice to God, right? I'm already being offered. And the time of my departure is come. And I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the course. Glory be to God. Do you know that you can know it when you get there? He did. I fought the good fight. He knew he had fought the good fight. And I have finished the course. He knew he had finished the course. And I have kept the faith. And he knew this. Some people don't know. They just hope. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but also to all of them that have loved his appearing. Loved his appearing? Yes, he's talking about loved his appearing in them. Do you love his appearing in you? You'll have to give up your life to get it. You'll have to lose your life in order to gain your life. And that life is him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you love his appearing? Do you love it more than you love the world? Do you love it enough to, for instance, in this context here, suffer hardship and do the work of an evangelist? Do you love him that much? Well, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we don't let people tell us what this looks like. I had some people that wanted me to go out and evangelize the way they did on street corners and so on and so forth. I said, well, who's going to do my job? If I go do your job, who's going to do my job? Besides, how many disciples have you got? And we found out, you found out they don't have any. So, no. I told the person that told me that one time, look, we're seeing millions of people come to our site to get the words that we suffer to put up there. And it's changing lives. It's saving people. I'm not sure I could stand out here on a street corner and get that done the way the Lord has given us this gift to get it, to bring in the end time harvest. So don't let people bring you under their rules. If you're serving God in any kind of a way to get the gospel and to get the fishing hooks out there and to get the boat out on the water, don't be condemned about it. For 1 Peter 2:19-24, for this is acceptable if for conscience towards God a man endures griefs. It's acceptable with God if because of your conscience you endure griefs, suffering wrongfully. Yeah, what the world would say, wrongfully. From God's perspective, it's just right. It is right, because he knows that this is a crucifixion that's going to bring you to the new life. Right. For what glory is it if when you sin and are buffeted for it, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. So when you do good and they come against you, don't get self-righteous, don't get prideful, don't retaliate. Just, you can give correction if you think it'll do any good. Bring correction, reproof, exhortation. Take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For hereunto were you called. Oh, my goodness. God invited us to partake of this. That's what the word call means here. You, to do well and to suffer for it, we've been called to do this. Hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Well, so Jesus is our example of suffering wrong in order to do the will of God. He's our example. This is what we should be doing. Leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. Don't avoid suffering. Embrace suffering is what the Lord is saying. And rejoice, as he said, because your reward is great in the kingdom. You know why? There are so many Christians out there that refuse any form of suffering. They don't want to lose their life in order to gain their life. There's a condition there. It's very plain. Who did no sin? Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So, in his own self, he bare our sins upon the tree. He went to his cross, bearing the sins of others. He was ultimately, completely righteous, and he suffered the ultimate wrong. Yeah. So should we also suffer wrong for well-doing? That's what he's saying. For hereunto were you called. 1 Peter 3:10 through 18. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. So there is a condition to see good days, to come to the place of good days, is not to speak deceptively, but to turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. Now, I want to tell you, there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. Peace is a gift given to those who love the Lord. Even in the midst of tribulation and affliction, they have this. That's how they know God is with them. But you seek peace. You desire peace. You pursue peace. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, which we've seen is the will of God and in most cases. Blessed are ye. You're blessed if you suffer for righteousness' sake. If you suffer because you've spoken the truth, lived the truth, sought to tell people the truth, done well towards those in need, etc., etc. If you see your brother in need and withhold from him, how does the love of God abide in you? You know? So if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. In other words, separate in your heart Christ as Lord. Make sure you're making him Lord. You're not serving self. You're not trying to save self. You're living the crucified life. Being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you. What do you answer them about the hope that is in you? Do you answer them about the rewards of being with Christ forever? Do you answer them about the rewards of righteousness, the rewards of suffering, etc., etc.? Do you tell them why you have this hope? They see you going through suffering, yet you're not cast down, but they, when they go through it, they are cast down. Yet with meekness and fear, so answer them, being meek and fearing the Lord, having a good conscience, that wherein you are spoken against, that they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. Amen. There are people out there, they never serve the kingdom, they never preach the gospel, they never do the works of the king, the ones that they're sent to do, but they persecute the righteous. Don't let them deceive you, they're not who they think they are. We can see that the Lord has delineated very well about the people who crucify the righteous. And it's better to suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, he says here. Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So are you willing to suffer to bring people to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit? 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, I'll go through verse 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you. It comes to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. It's not strange you're going through a fiery trial. Fire is to burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble, right? But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, we are. This is Christ's sufferings. He suffered the loss of his flesh, his body, right? Christ's sufferings. Rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, because if you suffer with him, you shall also be glorified with him, the Bible says. So rejoice at your sufferings, because it means that the revelation or manifestation of his glory is coming to you. Also, ye may rejoice with exceeding joy. So give thanks unto God. If you suffer, give thanks unto God, like the disciples did, to give us an example. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, because you stand for the name of Christ, the real Jesus, right? The nature, character, and authority of the original Jesus. Blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. Again, blessing. How many times does he pronounce this blessing for this reproach, for this affliction, for this suffering at the hands of the wicked? For let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. Amen. But if a man suffer as a Christian, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first at us, why does it begin first at us? Because if we're not crucified, we don't have his resurrection life. If we don't have his resurrection life, we don't have it to give away. It begins with us. God wants to crucify us. He uses the wicked to crucify the righteous. Then he judges the wicked. So it begins first at us. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Again, considering God's people who do not obey the gospel of God. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Yes, because God, through this process, is again the Creator. The Creator. He's creating the resurrected Son. He's not creating the natural man. That's what the Old Testament had. Through the death, burial, and resurrection, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. James 5 and 7 through 11 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth." Once again, we see the Lord's coming when the fruit is fit, ready to be harvested, right? "Being patient over it, until it receive the early and the latter rain." Amen. I mean, that's what really brings out the fruit, right? "Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Listen, the Lord's always coming for you. Some meet him before his ultimate personal coming, but he comes for them too. Even if they die years before, he comes for them too. He's waiting for them to bear fruit. Hopefully they do bear it before they leave this life. And by the way, faith is accounted as righteousness. Before you manifest righteousness, you have faith. You believe you've received this gift from God. You believe in his promises. And that's accounted as righteousness. So many people, some people even who die on their deathbed and turn to God with their heart, will see God. Others, they just want a fire insurance. They probably won't. "Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that you be not judged. Behold, the judge standeth before the doors. Take, brethren, for an example of suffering and of patience the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. So take, for example, the suffering and the patience that the prophets went through at the hands of the same people you're going through them. You know, the same people. In every generation, the same process is happening. I know thy tribulation." This is Revelation 2 and 9 through 11. "I know thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich, and the blasphemy of them that say that they're Jews and they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Well, that would have been the same thing like saying to us, there are Christians that say they're Christians and they're not, but they're of the church of Satan. "Fear not the things which thou art about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, that you may shall have tribulation 10 days. The devil's going to do this? Well, God didn't say, "No, I'm going to stop him." No, he didn't. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." We have to be faithful unto death in the midst of persecution, tribulation, and suffering. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. There's no promise to those that don't overcome. Overcome what? Overcome sin. Overcome sin. Philippians 3, 7 through 11. Howbeit, what things were gain unto me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Well, he had a very religious life. He had accomplished much in the way of religion, but it was all self. Yea, verily, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. Are you ready to give all things up to follow Jesus? And do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ. Do you consider it all just junk to go after Jesus, to have eternal life? And whether you're star glory, moon glory, or sun glory, that's the reward you're going to get for an eternity. Don't waste your time doing anything else but running after Jesus. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, that's rules and regulations, but that which is of faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. See, you get righteous from God because of your faith, and you're accounted righteous because of your faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death. How are you going to get conformed unto his death unless you are fellowshipping his sufferings? And if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Whoa, he's saying this is a condition. Notice, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. You want that resurrection life in you? The condition is, you have to die to self. Hebrews 5 and 7 through 9. Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. What kind of death? He knew he came here to die physically. What kind of death? Spiritual death. And having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, it's painful to kick against the pricks. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him, the author of eternal salvation. And I love this one here. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 9. Forasmuch then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. Notice that. You're commanded to do the same. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If your flesh is suffering, it's because it's not getting what it wants. It's suffering. It's suffering. It's becoming a loss. It's being crucified, the very thing it hates. So that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men. So you are supposed to come to maturity so that you can be useful in the kingdom. That you should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So you can live the rest of your time to the will of God. For the time past may suffice to have wrought the desires of the Gentiles and to have walked in lasciviousness, meaning a license to excess, right? Lusts, wine-bibbings, revelings, carousings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Guess you're evil if you don't give in to all their lusts. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? For unto this end was the gospel preached even to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober unto prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins. Yep, you might fail in a lot of things, but love is the most important. Using hospitality one to another without murmuring. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 5 through 11. Likewise, ye youngers, be subject unto the elder. See, there's rebellion. There's anarchy out there against the elders, the real elders. They make their own elders after they do that, you know. Likewise, ye younger, be subject unto the elder. Yea, all of you, gird yourselves with humility to serve one another. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, stay in the furnace, folks. Burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble. Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom will stand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. We're all suffering at the hands of the devil. He's there to execute the curse on the old flesh, right? And the God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect. Yep, he said it. Shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Thank you, saints, for joining us today. Thank you, Father, for bringing all these things to the remembrance of the brethren, Lord. Thank you for your mercy towards us, Lord, and your grace that's been given in Christ. Help us to abide in Jesus Christ and receive the suffering that is necessary to manifest his glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, saints, and God bless you. Good night.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you.